If you get your Bibles, please, and let's look together in the second book of Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 and preach a while about when the king rules. When the king rules. And you'll find this in the life of David portrayed here, and we're going to typify that from his life into our lives today. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. This is a great high time in David's life because this was a time when David was reigned king and crowned king over all Israel. 2 Samuel 5, 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is a city of David. And David said, On that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David went in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David a house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. When the king rules. I don't know if you understand or not, if you ever heard it or not. Did you know that David was anointed 3 times as king? He was anointed when he was a lad. You know, Samuel came to his father's house, and he looked through all the sons, and he asked Jesse, he said, Don't you have any more sons? Well, I got one more little young lad over on the hillside watching the sheep. He said, You go get him. And they brought David to the home. And then Samuel took out the horn of oil, and he anointed David as a lad to be king over Israel. Well, then as time went on, he finally got to be king over Judah. And they anointed him king over Judah. And then now we come to the point in David's life when all Israel, the elders, came and they called him together to anoint him again. The 3rd time, now he's anointed king over all Israel. What a high time it is in the life of Israel and also in the life of David. Now, this passage kind of typifies what happens in your life and mine when we have Jesus Christ King ruling in our life, as David now is going to be ruling, undisputed king over all Israel. This is truly a great day for David. If you've allowed the Lord Jesus to be king of your life, if he's residing in your life, if he's ruling there and reigning there, we can sing that song, oh happy day, and Jesus washed my sins away. So happy day indeed it is if Jesus is reigning in your life as king, as he's reigning king here over all Israel. Now, beginning with his new kingship, there's going to be a new regime that comes about in the nation of Israel. A new leadership, a new king over all Israel. And the same thing's true spiritually When Jesus is king in your life and he rules in your life and mine, there's a new regime, so to speak, a new beginning, if you will, in your life and mine. And certainly when Jesus rules in your life as he ruled here in David's life, surely there are some things that take place that are really going to be noticeable. Amen? It is true in David's life, and it'll be true in ours. I want you to see three things about David's kingship and kind of type those over to your life and mine. The same thing's true spiritually to us that happened to him physically here in Israel. So the first thing I want you to see is this. The kingship of David is now confirmed. In verses 1, 2, and 3, you saw it and you heard me read it. Also there in verse 7. His kingship now was confirmed in at least two different ways. It mentions in this passage that I read that all through history, up to this point, Israel had been given all the land of Canaan, all the promised land they had been given. But notice something about this passage. Until David became undisputed king over all Israel, they had never, up to this point, been able to conquer the Jebusites and take over, he calls it Zion, we'd call it Jerusalem. Do you know that's the designated place where the king's supposed to be reigning? In Jerusalem, in Mount Zion, that's a designated place. Our Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign, and he's going to rule over the whole world from Jerusalem. But now, alas, how dark it was that the very thing that was so chief and important to them, it meant so much to them, they had now had it inhabited by the enemy until David became king. Now, the Bible says that David went forth. When he became king, he went forth and he took the stronghold, it says, of Jerusalem, took the stronghold of Zion. Up to now, the Jebusites had been way too strong for Israel. They'd been way too powerful and they couldn't even, you know, overcome them and take Jerusalem. But now that David's king, they march through and they take Jerusalem. And here's something kind of astounding, even when I read this. The tribe of Benjamin, the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin was the most warlike tribe of all the Israelites. And did you know up to this time, the actual Benjamites had kind of just settled down. They were just kind of coexisting alongside the Jebusites who now retained control over Jerusalem. The enemy was in charge of the holy city, and here the warlike tribe of Israel just kind of sat on the outside, just kind of coexisting. Ho-hum, let things go the way they did. Well, this was not going to continue any longer when David became king. He took the stronghold of Zion, and again Jerusalem was set up as a place for the king to reign. Now, when David became king, God as his helper, it was very easy to take Jerusalem. And they did, and they overpowered the Jebusites. Now, everything that had been a thorn in the flesh for the Israelites was put under the feet of King David. Now, what's that say to us today? There's probably strongholds in all of our lives, if we'll just admit it. There's at least has been, I'm sure, strongholds in your life and mine. It could be a habit that you just couldn't seem to overcome. Could be a sin in your life that just had the victory over you, that just almost harassed you to the very point that you just wanted to just kind of give up the fight. But when Jesus comes to live in your life, and he becomes king on the throne of your heart, listen, those things, just like it was here for David, are put under the feet of the Lord Jesus. Those old habits are gone. Those old sins are forgiven. And now you have your first taste of deliverance and victory. This is so important, you see, to the Israelites. And it's so important for us too. You ever notice how Jesus in the New Testament had a way of dealing with people who had long-standing strongholds in their lives? Let me just give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, we preached about the woman who had the issue of blood. How many years? Come on, you heard the message. 12 years. She had an issue of blood. 12 long years she had a very horrible lifestyle. And Jesus comes and steps in, and those things are dealt with. Just another example. The man who was born blind, how he came to Jesus, and Jesus became king of his life, and he had sight once again. Another man who was lame from his birth, Jesus restored him to wholeness again. So you see, Jesus had a very habit of going to people who had long-lasting problems in their lives, and he was able to deal with every single one of them. Listen, there's no habit in your life or mine. There's no sin in your life or mine that the precious blood of Jesus cannot reach in and cleanse it. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Also, the kingship was confirmed here. The Bible says David just continued to grow. If you look at verse 10 here, what it says of David. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. So he began to grow. The kingdom began to grow. And did you know that under the kingship of David, Israel extended her borders widest that they'd ever been? Because why? The Lord God of hosts was reigning king in David's life, and he being king over Israel, God was actually the king, and God just blessed the efforts of King David all the way across. That's true in our lives too, isn't it? When the king comes into your life and mine upon the throne of our life, we ought to begin to grow and to grow and to grow and to mature. And as God was with David, he will be with us to extend us, help us to grow maturity, just like David grew here as God was with him. Do you remember when the angel came to Mary and he told her, he said, you're going to have a son. He'll be conceived by the Holy Ghost. He'll be the Messiah. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. His kingdom will last forever and forever and forever. Do you realize that's exactly what happens in your life and mine when Jesus comes in to reside in your heart, to reign in your life, to rule from the throne of your life and mine? That means His kingdom in you and me will go on forever and forever and forever. Well, the Holy Ghost said those things that's been going on in Israel have to stop. They got to go. When Jesus comes into my life, into yours, there's things in our lives. Can't you agree? Can't you testify and say, there's things in my life when Jesus came in to be king of my life, the Holy Ghost said, that's got to go. And praise God, He took it away, didn't He? Amen. So you see, first of all, the kingship of David is confirmed. He took the stronghold of Jerusalem, and God blessed him as he grew and grew and grew. But I want you to notice something else. When God comes into our lives, we do indeed have those strongholds of sin and habits broken. We do grow. We do mature. But there's a second thing I want you to notice in David's life. Not only was his kingship confirmed, but his kingship was also challenged. Look at verse 17 there in chapter 5. Verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Look also over there in verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. The enemies, the Philistines, heard that they had anointed king David over all Israel. You see, the Philistines weren't too concerned about David while he was only the king over Judah. He didn't pose them a threat then, you see. But when they crowned him king over all Israel, then it was a different story. Then it became a threat to them. And what did they do immediately? They gained their forces together and they challenged his kingship. That same thing's going to hold true in your life and mine. If you haven't ever known it, you will know it. When you crown Jesus king of your life, like King David was here, the first thing's going to happen is you're going to be challenged. Now listen, the devil don't mind you professing Christ. He doesn't mind you joining a church. It doesn't upset him too bad if he sees you baptized. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When the devil sees them strongholds in your life that the Holy Ghost breaks in your life, those habits have got to go, and they go. Those sins have to go, and they're cleansed and forgiven. And he sees you, and he knows what's going on in your life. When the King rules, I promise you, he takes notice of you, and he will challenge you right off the beginning, won't he? Let me say this. If Jesus is King of your life, on his rightful place, on the throne of our hearts and lives, you can be sure of this. You're in for a lifetime of warfare spiritually and battles. He's never going to let up on you. Same thing here. The Bible says they set up, the Philistines did, and they spread themselves all in the very valley of Rephaim. They spread themselves to all the different focal points, you see, that David was going to be king over. So there they were to challenge him and to try to withhold him from being what God called him to be and doing what God called him to do. The same thing's going to be true in your life and mine spiritually. The devil's going to set up attack against you, a challenge against you. He'll spread himself, the Bible says, like a green bay tree. He'll spread himself all around so that you'll be, so to speak, corralled in if he can. Now, notice this. See how pointed their attacks were. They knew where David might be most vulnerable. So they set themselves up right there in those focal points. Let me share something with you I believe is true in your life too. The devil seldom, if ever, attacks you in the strong points of your life, does he? The things that he knows in your life and mine that he can't get to you in that particular area or this particular area or this over here. But he always finds an area somewhere, so to speak, a chink in your armor, you might say, a weak place, a vulnerable place, and right there's where he sets up his stronghold to challenge you and attack you. The devil spreads himself everywhere today, and I'm telling you, folks, you know it. He spread very widespread in our nation. Well, the king posed him a great threat now. They had to do something about it. When you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, and wonderful things takes place in your life, and God, the Lord of hosts, begins to bless you, and you begin to grow, and you get the first taste of victory and deliverance, then the devil will turn his gun on you. Had an old professor one time tell me, and I remember it, he said, the closer you get to God, the bigger gun the devil will turn on you. Amen? That is true, isn't it? Well, it immediately happened after David became king. He was just newly anointed, and now then they prepare an all-out attack. Well, that happened to all of us, doesn't it? But the kingship in David's life and the kingship in your life and mine is confirmed. The Lord confirms it to us. And then the kingship in our lives of the Lord Jesus is also going to be challenged. If it hasn't, you be rest assured it will happen. But there's a third thing here I want you to see about the kingship of David. His kingship was communicated. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 19. You'll see it. And look at verse 23. Verse 19 says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And look at verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, this is another occasion, the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Now, Lord, what are we going to do? The Philistines have just spread themselves all around. Lord, am I to go up against them? Am I to attack them? Lord, am I to go up? And if I go up and you tell me to go up against them, I'll go. But Lord, I've got to know that you're going to give them into my hand. You're going to have to give me the victory. I've got to know that I'm going to have the victory. So what did God say? David, go up. I assure you, I'll be with you, and I will give you the victory. We might say today, how do I face my enemy? How do I face the devil? I know he's stronger than I. I know he's more powerful than I am. I know that he's more clever than I am. He's got tricks, beloved, you and I have never seen before he'll put on you. So what do I do, Lord, when the temptations come? How do I face him? Well, we know we can't face him in the power of ourselves or power of our flesh, because the arm of flesh will fail you, the Bible says, and it fails you how many times percentage-wise? 100%. So what do I do? The kingship was communicated to David. God said, on this occasion, David, you go up. You go after them. You attack them, and I will give them into your hand. And he did. But there came a second occasion. And what happened to David on both these occasions? Notice this. Both occasions it came up. What did David do? He fell on his knees before the Lord and inquired of the Lord. He didn't sit back and wring his hands and worry about things and try to develop a battle strategy of how he'd outflank them and get the victory. He just went to his knees and he asked the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord, what do I do? Well, on this occasion, God said, go up. On the second occasion, God said, nope, don't go up. You just wait, David. You don't do a thing. You don't go up. You don't fight. You just wait. You just sit still and wait. Let me relate this to us. In every victory in your life, if you will inquire of the Lord, I promise you, He'll tell you either to go up or to sit still and wait, which means to me, what God told me to do in this particular situation may not work in this situation. It's different than that one. So I need to have the King's communication unto me in everything that I face. It has to be met by prayer. Fall upon your knees and go to the King. You know something I find? The King's information is precious. David found it out. He got the victory every time he inquired of the Lord and went up or stood still as God told him to do. We've got to do the same thing that David did. Do it the same way. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it. We must do like David did. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. But Lord, I'll tell you this, my eyes are upon you, and my heart is attuned to your will, and whatever you tell me to do then, Lord, I'm going to do that. Didn't Jesus tell us in the New Testament to watch and pray lest we'd enter into temptation? He certainly did. He said, pray without ceasing too, didn't he? All right, we may be told to attack on one situation. And the next time God may say, just sit still and will it be work. He told David something kind of peculiar. I know you've heard this at some point in time, but I want you to turn back here and look at verse number 24 just a moment. Here's what he told David to do. Verse 24. He told David, he said, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. I know you've heard sermons preached, and I've preached sermons too, on the rustling of the wind in the mulberry trees. Well, here's where it came about. David, you sit still. You just wait. And when you see the mulberry trees start moving, and you hear a going, the wind in the mulberry trees, he said, then, David, you bestir yourself, and you go out, and I'll be with you, and I promise you, you will have the victory. Many times, we're told to wait, and we need to listen for the sound of the going. Let me give you the prime example of that. Slip over to the New Testament on the day of Pentecost when the 120 were gathered in that upper room. You remember they were waiting for the promise of the Father. And it says, as they waited on the promise of the Father, there came a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were gathered, and the Holy Ghost of God came as cloven tongues of fire, and He sat upon every single one of them. You notice what they were doing? They were just sitting still and waiting on God. And when they waited on God, God showed up with a mighty rushing wind. Same thing's kind of true when Jesus faced Nicodemus. And Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, the Holy Spirit's like the wind. You can't see Him. You can't tell where He comes from. You can't tell which way the wind's going to blow, but you know the effects of it when it takes place. You know that much. Same thing's true with us spiritually. If we'll just sit still and wait on God, wait on the going, wait on the rustling of the wind in the mulberry trees, God will tell us, go up or sit and wait. Well, He shows us today His kingship and His lordship in our lives by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Listen. Only those who are surrendered to the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ are going to feel that rustling of the wind, the going in the trees, it says, and the wind of God coming into our lives. Allow me to share a truth that I believe you'll all agree with. Most of us here, maybe except for little Wyatt, most of us have been a Christian for numbers of years. And I've lived and served or attempted to serve the Lord for a lot of years. And I can assure you of one thing. You and I are no match for the devil. If you don't know it, you're going to find it out the hard way. We're no match for the devil. Unless our hearts are enthroned by the very life from the throne of God, who is the Holy Spirit of God, enthroned in my life, God sends the life from the throne above. When you give your heart to Jesus, He becomes King on the throne of your life. The life from the throne of heaven comes, and that same life is enthroned on the throne of your life, and there's where the power comes. He indwells you. He enables you to live the victorious Christian life. All the power you'll ever need in your life is already within you. And the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something. You hear the sound of wind? Listen. Do you ever feel the trembling in your heart by the very application of the Word of God into your life? You ever tremble when you heard the Word of God? I have. I hope and I trust that you have too. You tremble when you hear the Word of God because the Holy Spirit of God in us convicts us of our failures and our defaults and our sins, and He convicts us through hearing the Word of God. Do you realize that there's a bomb in Gilead? There really is. There's a bomb in Gilead. And His name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you begun to see the need in your life? And you know the answer to it all? The Holy Spirit of God living within us. The Lordship of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God on the throne of my heart and yours. Listen to me. Is He moving within you? He wants to. He really does. What does the Bible say? Listen to it again. Verse 24. Listen to what God told David. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Listen. If you don't hear the wind, if you don't feel the breeze, you better not go out. You better wait and be still, the Bible says, and know that I'm God. Wait for the wind. Wait for the going. I hope our church will soon hear a going, maybe tonight. Amen. I hope I'll hear a going myself, a fresh one. I want to close with this for all of our lives. Every single one of us has a tremendous, I mean more than we could imagine, a tremendous potential within us. Every one of us does. I've had folks say, well, preacher, I don't have anything. I'm not worth anything. Oh, wait a minute. You got the Holy Ghost in you. You got a tremendous potential in your life. Now, here's my question. What are we going to do with that tremendous potential that God puts in our life, the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost? Are we going to be still and listen for His moving and then bestir ourselves and go out at His command? Or are we just going to discard the whole thing because we don't understand it? You'll never understand the Holy Ghost. Nobody can understand the Holy Ghost. We just need to hear. Listen. Wait, and when He moves, we need to act and obey. I'll just say this, and I'll close. If you never have surrendered your life to the Lordship and the kingship of Jesus Christ on your heart, on your throne, in your life, I would encourage you to do it now. If you hear the slightest rustling of the wind of God, it's time to bestir yourself and allow the King of Glory to come in. And I tell you this, none of us would be nothing but eternally grateful that we did. When Jesus the King rules in our lives, three things are going to be certain. Number one, His kingship's going to be confirmed. His kingship's going to be challenged. But His kingship is going to be communicated to us and through us to other people. God bless you. Let's stand together.